Welcome to Dazer Update for September 25th, 2022. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Daniel Victoria.
And yeah, we've got a nice break of a week of sorts because last week was just chaotic with all of the TGS news and such.
Oh, yeah.
So this week has given us a bit less to talk about, but nothing. There's still big stuff here, so it's not for a lack of important things to talk about. As we have things like, say, the biggest news of the week in Rockstar getting hacked and having a bunch of videos of in development GTA 6 getting stolen and released.
Yep.
By the hacker. Then 2K Games joined the fun as one of their support vendors got hacked. That allowed some weird emails to get sent out to people.
Yep.
And yeah, Twitch had their own big week that included a lot of people complaining and having issues with the various things that they are doing. That is not a huge surprise for that. But we also have Microsoft announcing new hardware. With one of their partners, Logitech. I'll tell you what that's all about. And yeah, I got various other things here of sorts. Nothing really too huge, but we'll get to that stuff here soon enough. Before we do that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here with what I've been playing. And yeah, one of the big ones here is Shovel Knight Dig. Finally released the newest Shovel Knight game that is made by Nitrome, which is the makers of a game called Bomb Chicken. Though I would say this game itself is kind of like a mix of Shovel Knight and Downwell, as the Drill Knight has sort of taken a bag that I guess is special to Shovel Knight and drilled a giant hole down into the ground that he has to kind of go down and fight enemies. It's kind of a roguelite there as he goes down into these explicit sort of sections. And yeah, the first one you run into is like the mushroom mines, which has a bunch of fungusy areas, a lot of dirt. The nice thing is there are a lot of gems to collect. And as you're digging through dirt, you're just basically going in the direction that you're digging. So you can collect the lines of gems pretty easily. If you need to just get through that stuff, you get a lot of room to do that. And sort of like Downwell, there are a lot of little side rooms that tend to be something beneficial for you. But along the way, you'll fight some enemies that can, you know, fuck up your shit if you're not paying attention or doing super well, because it likes to spawn random flying enemies to come into the screen. That can be pretty annoying, but yeah, once you beat a section, you kind of pop out into this area. You get two choices for what the next section is going to be like, and you'll see a little sign that has some icons on it that you'll eventually figure out like what that means for that area. Though sometimes you run into some special zones that you may not have access to right away that I'm still trying to figure out. But yeah, it's got a little bit of Downwell to it, maybe some Spelunky. It seems like your main progress is going through four areas and then beating, I assume, the Drill Knight at the end, and there may end up being like a final true ending kind of scenario you can go through at the end of sorts. But what you'll probably deal with a lot early on is dying a lot, and the sort of like Shovel Knight, you don't lose all of your gems. They do pop out like three bags that will float in on your next run. Although they can be tough to get, because sometimes you might be sitting on platforms that they are just flying through and be no way to get to it. That's kind of frustrating, but you still get to keep like 80% of the gems you collect. And that stuff you take back up to the surface to go either to Hoofman's shop on the right side, where he has some upgrades, and eventually you'll find the armor that can make armor sets for you. And on the left side, there are some other merchants, one that can offer you shortcuts to areas you've been to. Mm-hmm. If you want to just skip ahead instead of doing a full run, obviously that leaves you in potential to get to tougher areas with less like perks or special moves or anything like that. So there is a reason to go through all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a shopkeeper, Chester, that will sell additional perks that can be thrown into the mix. So they seem to get progressively more expensive with each one you buy. But yeah, as I said, you kind of keep the vast majority of your gems on each run, so it's not too hard to kind of go back and get that stuff. And yeah, along the way, you're kind of picking up some side items, things like keys that can be easily broken. There's glass keys, which you take one hit and it breaks. One of the upgrades you can get is like being able to hold multiple items, so it starts to feel like Yoshi's Island. With your line of eggs behind you, and you can literally get eggs. Mm-hmm. And if you find a side area that has a nest, you can hatch it, and it'll, you know, a creature will be born that will potentially help you out on your run. So there's a lot to consider with that stuff. And it's also just as easy to get hit and break all that stuff and fuck up in fun ways that... And along the way, you're also trying to get these cogs, these gears. There's three in each section. And if you get those to the end, you get a special bonus that can be like, oh, give me some food to refill my health completely, or a special perk out of the stuff that's already unlocked. So there's a lot to it. It's one of those kind of roguelites where you can probably get through it if you get lucky, you know, short amount of time if you just... are not that great at it, so you'll take a bit more time, but you can eventually like grind out different bonuses and such. You're not really affecting any stats that I've seen so far, but there's a lot to this. It's a fun game. I'm looking forward to put some more time into that one. And yeah, the other new release I've been playing is Return to Monkey Island.
Yeah.
The long-awaited return of Ron Gilbert and Dave Grossman to the series. As this is taking place after the second game, Monkey Island LeChuck's Revenge. To try to spoil this as little as possible, the big way that it starts is exactly the way that it ends in Monkey Island 2, where you see this like kid versions of Guybrush and LeChuck pop out of this like amusement park building. In this park, and then there's like, oh, there's their parents, and they're like, oh, it's time to go, kind of thing. The way this starts is that same scene, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's our parents, and you find out like those aren't their parents; they're just random people that were standing nearby that just said they were parents. So they kind of have to go around and explore the island or the area. They find their buddy D, and they're trying to get like the like your initial one is getting a scurvy dog, which is basically a hot dog on a stick. But they have to go to the toilets, you know, and find like a coin, a piece of eight like coin on the ground and trade that for scurvy dogs. Which, you know, is on the floor of a bathroom. Not really a great place to do that, but the. But the nice thing is this is sort of a modern adventure game, so you get like a an inventory item that is essentially like, here's a log of things to do. And that's especially useful in that initial area, because there's like, oh, there's a lot of stuff to do here. You know, a foot race, there's things to collect and other places to go look at, and this kind of gives you a bit of stuff to do.
Right.
Initially, and then you run into... Guybrush Threepwood, and you find out like, oh, these are his kids. He is, you know, old, not that old, but probably like 40s, something like that. And he's like, if I told you, he's like, you told me a lot of stories about, you know, your adventures on Monkey Island and finding Big Whoop, which is what Monkey Island 2 was about. And he's like, tell me another story. And he's like, well, I'll tell you the time I really found the secret of Monkey Island. And sort of gets a bit of a Princess Bride kind of framing to this whole story here. As there's been a couple times where he's like, told him like, oh, this happened, or this person showed up, and he's like, no, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And Guybrush changes it to whatever makes sense, that kind of thing. So, I've played about 2 hours now, so I've been just going around. So sort of like the what happens in the first Monkey Island, the Secret of Monkey Island, you're kind of trying to get a ship and a crew, and it seems like neither of those things exist anymore on Melee Island. In fact, the only ship that seems to be crewing up to go is LeChuck's ship.
Yeah.
And you're coming to the realization, like, oh, we have to find some means of getting onto his ship and maybe taking it over, maybe getting rid of LeChuck so we can go really find the secret of Monkey Island kind of thing. So, how everything works as you expect with a plan on PC. It does have a nice little thing where you can click on characters to talk to them, and it'll sometimes have two different things to do. So, you know, you hit left mouse button for one thing, right mouse button for another, which sometimes be like, oh, ask them questions with the first, the left mouse button. And right mouse button's like, here's the thing you do to progress to the next thing. It gives you more opportunities to talk more, that kind of stuff. But on Melee Island, they have, you know, plenty of things that harken back to the first game, but it's, you know, years later. So it's like, oh, here's the pirate leaders that you talk to. And these are all new ones that are less about, you know, theatrics and tradition, about just actual not fucking around anymore. And so they don't take any of Guybrush's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They basically tell him to go fuck off for funding his expedition. I was like, oh, where's Stan's used ship shop? Well, it's closed down because he's in jail. So you got to go talk to him. And he's like, oh, I think I'm going to win this thing. So no, I don't need you to break me out of jail. Because you have to find a locksmith that just needs you to tell her the like serial code on the lock, and she can make any key, which isn't great for, say, a jail.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there. I'm not going to spoil too much more, but it's seems like a very fun sort of evolution of what those original games were. There's no more verbs to it. It just kind of plays everything the way that it should.
Mm-hmm.
The inventory stuff is pretty easy to handle.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a hint book. I have not had a chance or a need to use it just yet. But from what I've read, it is going to be probably much better than what was in these special editions of the original two games.
Because
mm-hmm. It seems like this time around, it actually kind of knows what you've seen and are likely to be doing next. So it'll actually give you hints that are relevant
mm-hmm.
instead of just stuff that's like, oh, I already did that, or I have no clue what that means. Kind of thing. So yeah, definitely recommend checking that out if you like the other two games or just adventure games in general. It has a scrapbook of sorts to kind of go over the stories of the original two games, so there you go for that. And the other two stuff,
would you call it advantageous to play any of the previous games in the series? Because I know a few weeks back Steam had a sale for like the entire series for like $5, which I went ahead and hopped on, but you know, obviously I haven't had a chance to get on them yet, and I know that Gilbert only worked with a couple. So would you say it's worth playing in those two before playing this one, or can I just go into this and go into it blind?
You can go into this. They have a scrapbook thing that sort of gives you the gist of the story stuff that's going on. Mm. That sort of Guybrush is like looking back on what happened in those two games. So you don't necessarily have to if you don't want to. But I do think it is fun to sort of have all of the references, because I don't think it's going to cover everything from those two games. But yeah, you'll probably get by just fine.
Mm. Fair enough.
But you might miss some of the fan service that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is Return to Monkey Island. I think it's $25 for Switch and PC.
Mm.
I think Shovel Knight Dig is also $25, so got some cheaper stuff there. The other games I've been playing are some older stuff. Euro Truck Simulator 2, which has been having this event that ends today.
Mm-hmm.
That is about delivering stuff to a convention in Hanover, Germany. That is, I forget what it's called, like ITS, their convention center. So I managed to get that completed earlier today. It took me a little bit because I messed up one thing that was supposed to be, there's like one job it specifically asked you to do, and I was just doing the other things instead. I misunderstood because it was like, oh, you need to deliver a trailer from this one place to another place, to the convention. I was like, I kept taking jobs, but it wasn't counting. I was like, oh, I probably specifically need to do the trailer, not the forklifts is the other thing they have there. I figured anything was a trailer. But now I know that it specifically means that. So there you go for that. I have some nice little bonuses for that. And I've been playing some God of War. Getting back into that as I want to beat it before Ragnarok comes out in November. And yeah, I've been working my way through that as I have gone through Helheim. I have worked my way into... what was that? I think we were near where Odin was at, of sorts. But now, kind of going back, I'm like, well, we need to get to Jotunheim. We may have a means of doing that. So let's do all this weird shit that doesn't really make any sense, but I guess it makes sense in their reality. But yeah, that's been fun to get into. I'm in an interesting part of the story where Atreus and Kratos sort of are at odds a bit, as Atreus very much is not enjoyed learning that he is a god, and that his parents have been keeping it from him his whole life. And sort of wants to know more about what that means, what his dad did as a god, and that kind of thing. And Kratos very much did not want to talk about that. Though now I think Kratos kind of wants to explain some things to him, but has not found the right opportunities. And so there's that whole thing going on, but also been just beating up a lot of fucking enemies. So that's the other fun part of it. So yeah, that's been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Brandon?
As for me, now both me and Andrew can reveal what we were playing, which was Trails from Zero. I actually finished it a couple days ago. You know, I'll wait until Danrub talks and we get into that more in depth. But other than that, I have, of course, been using my Game Pass subscription. There's some new Game Pass games that have come out. And two of the games that I've been playing is Hardspace Shipbreaker and Deathloop. Deathloop, of course, was previously a PS5 exclusive that was made by Arkane, the same people behind the Dishonored series. And by all intents and purposes, it takes place in that same universe, just at a much more modern time period. But essentially, the sort of overall gist is you're this guy who's stuck on this island called Black Reef, where a scientist and a bunch of other people have essentially used a time displacement device to essentially repeat the same 24 hours over and over again in perpetuum. And your goal basically is that you're trying to kill all of the major, what they're called, the visionaries, who keep the loop going so that you can finally break the loop. And on top of the fact that you're going against them, and they, of course, have themselves and their, guards trying to kill you, there's this chick named Julianne who's also trying to kill you for some reason you don't know. She's very much knows who you are, and she has apparently done this several times before. And funny thing is, you wake up not having really any memory of what it is, but she definitely knows who you are. Yeah. And, you know, if you've played a previous Arkane game, you kind of have an idea of how this works. The environment is pretty much completely traversable. You can, you know, you've got several weapons you can use, but unlike in the Dishonored series, where you're encouraged to stay hidden out of sight and be as nonviolent as you can, here you're encouraged to basically kill every single person that you come in contact with the catch being that they all act fairly realistically to you attacking a group of them. So they all are about as strong as you are, if not stronger. So you can die very easily. And speaking of games where you can also die very easily, Hard Space Shipbreaker. Basically, this is one of those games, kind of like a, you know, Power Wash Simulator, where it sort of like takes like the concept of like a fairly basic job and sort of weaving a fairly elaborate plot around it. Essentially, it's the future, and you are a person who has been hired to break up ships. Basically, you are out in space, and you are tasked with taking these various space vessels of various classes and basically taking them apart. And basically, you've got some bins that you use. One bin is for processing, where it's, you know, stuff with like valuable minerals in it, or, you know, places, you know, things that can be reconstituted for other things. You also have one that's a furnace, where you can basically burn something down to its essential minerals. And then you also have the barge, which is below you, and that's where you put all the stuff that can be resold. So stuff like, you know, pilot chairs, computer terminals, stuff like that. And it's very, it's not easy. Every single ship, you essentially have to sort of work your way from the inside out, slowly, methodically taking pieces apart and putting them in their respective areas. And, you know, some of these ships, they're pressurized, which means that if you're not careful, you can cause a hole to open and it'll basically blast you out into the middle of space, like far away from where you could, where you need to be. Sometimes you can light stuff on fire. And if you're trying to remove their reactor cores, the reactor cores can have a full-on meltdown and basically cause a nuclear explosion. And of course, the thing is, the company that you work for in this game, called the Lynx Corporation, they basically own your genetic code. So every time you die, they basically recreate a clone of you to take your place, and they charge you for it. In fact, when you hire it up for them, they basically put you into debt servitude by charging you like 1.5 billion credits for the privilege of being turned into a genetic clone. And every time you die, they add on to it. And of course, they also charge you for stuff like room and board, also, you know, buying new equipment, stuff like that. And games, it's really good. I mean, it's legitimately very addictive. It does require some patience. It is not something that you can do very fast, because, again, you have to take these things apart piece by piece. And, you know, on occasion, you can, like, take really huge pieces and take them to where they need to be if they're all, like, of the same type. But most of the time, you have to take them apart, and if they're too big a piece, you have to actually cut them into pieces. Yeah, that's what I've been playing. So, Darren, what about you?
Yeah, just got back from Hawaii last week, so I haven't been playing a whole lot of stuff aside from what's on my Switch. But on my PS5, I have been playing. I've been playing a little bit of my player mode. And a lot of the complaints I had last year kind of rear their ugly head in here again. Obviously, with your My Player, you start off with a certain rating. And what really sets us apart from like a lot of other sports games is that you have sort of this central hub that you're in. And you can pretty much interact with anybody who's playing the game, and they're just about as lower leveled as you. And like, you know, early on, if you see someone with a really, really high level, then that must mean they paid for it, because NBA 2K23 has totally been embracing the microtransaction life as of late, and it doesn't appear to have really changed with this particular game. But aside from the fact that hasn't really changed, the basketball is also like pretty much unchanged too, but I wouldn't say that's a negative. Like 2K23 is, or NBA 2K is the best basketball game for a reason, and its gameplay is pretty much there as well. The main thing that you'd notice if you're playing like human multiplayer games is the fact that the presentation unfortunately has taken a dip. The halftime show is nowhere near as involved as it has been in years past. I used to praise the NBA 2K series for its super authentic presentation, but now they have reached it to the point where like the halftime show hardly even exists. Like I used to laugh at the awkwardness of Shaq and all the people that would just like, you know, act a fool or Shaq in a fool during the halftime show, and like that doesn't really show up anymore. So it's really tough to see what exactly 2K2023 really focused on aside from all the Air Jordan stuff, because you know it was 23, obviously that's Michael Jordan's number, and they really focused on his mode, and I've already talked about that, so there really isn't anything new for me to talk about aside from the fact that I'm still enjoying the game for what it is, but it definitely, while it's still super playable, it just doesn't feel as great as it was, like, you know, during NBA 2K11, 12, and oh my gosh, I'm just realizing that it's been 10 years. So, like, it's been the best, but, you know, it's also followed the Madden syndrome, and, like, okay, there's been no competition, so there really hasn't been much of a emphasis on really improving itself, and that's really unfortunate. But aside from that, if you want a good basketball game, 2K23 is a good basketball game, but that's pretty much all it is. I wouldn't say you need it, but yeah, it's a solid title. Anyway, going back to what I've been playing on the Switch, we can finally talk about it as the embargo lifted a few days ago.
Yeah.
Is The Legend of Heroes Trails from Zero. And this one is a game that I actually went ahead and assigned to Brandon to review because I went on my trip.
Yep.
But the journey to get to this release has definitely been rough. Those of you that follow this podcast know that we absolutely love this series. It all started with Trails from the Sky, which is available for PC and Vita, or PSP if you want to put it there. And so what's significant about Trails from Zero is that it takes place in the state of Crossbell, which is sort of an independent state away from, you know, Liberal and Erebonia, which the last two trilogies were from. Or, you know, we can't even call it Trails of Coastal a trilogy because it's four games.
It's quartet, yeah.
Yeah, so the main thing is that the events in Trails from Zero took place at the exact same time as Trails of Cold Steel, which came out like around, what, 4 or 5 years ago on the PS3 as well as the PC. And, you know, obviously we already had Trails of Cold Steel 4. So if you played through the entire Trails of Cold Steel series, you pretty much were already spoiled with the events of Crossbell. So... these characters showed up in Trails of Cold Steel 3 and 4, and you didn't, if you didn't play, you know, what was available in America, you didn't really know who they were. So now they're available here. It was published by NIS America, and with this one, they actually hired the Geofront, which is an underground-based fans of the series who went ahead and translated the games themselves because they didn't think that they'd actually make it to the West, which they did. It's a good thing that, you know, Nisa went ahead and hired them. As far as what I've played, Brandon beat it, so he'll be able to talk more about it. But I haven't really seen any nastiness in regards to his translation. I have seen some, like, grammatical mistakes here and there, but nothing
one or two. Nothing significant, but...
nothing that really, like, kills the story for what it's worth. Anyway, I'm about 20 hours in. I just got through Chapter 2. And if you've played any of the Trails games, mainly the Trails in the Sky series, you'd know that this is pretty much in a 2D sprite form. Not a whole lot of 3D in this game at all. But, you know, with that said, it has the charm of an SNES era sort of game.
Yeah.
But as far as what it does new, especially after coming out of Trails of Cold Steel, it doesn't really do a whole lot new at all. It's pretty much like the same sort of format. You have your main hub, you're doing your little quests, and you do like the required quests in order to move the story forward. And the main gimmick here is that instead of the Bracer Guild, which was from Trails in the Sky, as well as the school from Trails of Cold Steel, this time you're the SSS, you're the Special Support Section. You are the lowest of the low as a part of the police force. But the main thing is that The police force has little to no respect in Crossbell. So,
no.
Everybody loves the Bracer Guild, because they seem to get a whole lot of work done, but nobody really respects the police, and the police went ahead and formed this force in order to get some of that respect back. And you actually also come across some of the main characters from Chosen to Sky, you know, Estelle and John. And they're senior Bracers. They're awesome. In Chapter 1, you see them, like, kill these big enemies in less than one hit. So I was like, oh, yeah, they're amazing, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, so the main character in this game is Lloyd Bannings. He was just away in a police school trying to be a detective like his older brother. And then his party consists of Randy Orlando, who is a red-haired guy from... was it the first division that he was a part of, Brandon?
He was... Yeah, no, he was with the Guardian Force.
Okay, yeah, he's...
Yeah, he's remember, because his superior is one of the... His former superior shows up, and she basically... He's, like, absolutely terrified of her.
Yeah, but basically he was a part of the military in some form.
Yeah, Crossbell's version of a military. Sort of like a self-defense force, more or less.
He was apparently kicked out for womanizing, which isn't really the full story, but, you know, I'm not going to get into details there. And then you have Ellie McDowell, who is the daughter of Crossbell's mayor. And then you have Tia Pleto, who is a genius, basically. And she's definitely a young girl, but she's pretty much like, she's pretty much what Futaba was in Persona 5, except you can actually, like, use her in battle. So she has, she definitely has some skills with the Orble staff. And stuff like that. And yeah, again, so far I just finished Chapter 2. We're in the middle of the this little festival going on, which is actually pretty common in this series. And I've really been enjoying what I've played so far. I don't think 20 hours really scratches the surface with where we're going. I'm pretty sure that this is going to be a 60 to 80 hour game. And I don't really have any complaints. The main thing that's really working for me is that if you press the left shoulder button, you can go into high speed mode.
Yeah,
which definitely works well for some of its cutscenes, because the cutscenes are really, really slow paced, and a lot of the dialogue is, like, pretty slow, which is, like, what you expect in this game.
Well, you got to remember, like, these were originally PSP games, so
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think these are actually the Neo version, aren't they? Or the Evo
pretty
version.
Sure they are. Yeah,
like what up-res, because like these definitely look a whole lot better than Chosen of Sky did. So there's that. And then the main thing that it adopted from Trails of Cold Steel is the fact that you can actually attack an enemy from the free roam mode. That way you can get an advantage in battle. That ability was not available in Chosen of Sky, but it was in Trails of Cold Steel. So it is interesting seeing sort of both the evolution and de-evolution, because these games actually did come out before the Chosen Cold Steel series.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why, like, it took a while to get here was because since we had the 3D versions first, it's like, okay, why would we go back in 2D? But if you were to ask a lot of the hardcore fans of this series, they would say that this duology and Crossbell are actually the high point of the game. I'm not inclined to agree yet, but I'm definitely, like, there as far as, like, the way this story carries itself. Especially, like, it's still very current. I mean, like, you know, we always have our issues with the police and law enforcement. And, like, this is a sort of, like, it sort of tells its own story there as well, which makes the fact that, you know, this is a Japanese-developed game, like, even more impressive.
Which, it actually answered, like, one of the questions about, like, wow, you know, we've played a bunch of these games, and yet this is really the first time we've seen, like, an actual dedicated law enforcement agency in these games. Like, sure, like, you'll have, like, maybe the military, you know, that'll show up in, like in Laburl, that are, like, guarding the gates or every so often, like, maybe a city guard, but you don't really see any police. And, well, this game basically answers why, because when you have the Bracer Guild around, they're basically completely useless.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the SSS is really there because they pretty much were jealous of the Bracer Guild, and they were trying to get some respect for the police back, which is a sort of grimy in its own right. But like, these four characters are really definitely strong for what I've seen so far.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally enjoying it. And then as for the battle system, like, it's totally the same. If you've played a Trails game before, it's been what it is.
Well, Well, I mean, unlike the Cold Steel series, it's, you know, it's OG. It's the tile-based combat. Exactly. But, yeah.
But yeah, like, that's pretty much all I think I want to say. Well, what about you, Brandon, about it?
Well, having said that I finished it, I will tell you, as far as Atreus games go, it is actually relatively shorter than a lot of the other Trails games are. That might be either because I'm a fast reader, or it might actually be simply because, unlike in, you know, Trails of Cold Steel or Trails in the Sky, where, you know, you're either going like all over either Erebonia or Librel respectively, you're pretty much all of the game is focused in and around Crossbell. So
it's sort of similar to Cold Steel, where in the sense that where in the first game you were actually limited to the school before you actually venture out. But even after you finish a chapter, you end up back in the school again. So Crossbell is definitely more of a hub world compared to what we see in the rest of the series.
Yeah, more or less. But most of the game really does focus around Crossbell. And like, obviously there are some other places, like there's a mining village just nearby. There's like another sort of like a touristy village. And you do actually go.
Like, even after you go through all that, you still end up back in
Crossbell. Yeah, you still end up back in Crossbell. And you also do go over to, I forgot what it's called, but that amusement park. That's like across. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't actually go inside it because you don't have any tickets, but you do.
Oh, no.
No. Well, yeah, they saved that for later on. Cool. I don't know if you remember, but remember in if you play Cold Steel 4, you do actually get to go into the amusement park. They actually pretty. If there's one thing about the Cold Steel games, especially the later parts, I can say is they pretty faithfully reproduced Crossbell pretty much down to a T. Even remember going into the.
I remember going into the Stargazer's Tower in Cold Steel 3 or 4, and it was just as complicated.
So. Yeah, and even, like, remember going into the, the hotel area that's, like, just in front of the music park. Yeah, and you've got the little laser light logo floating around on the floor. Yeah, that's from this game. It's there. Like, it's just one of those little touches that makes it so neat.
So, you were talking about its length. Do you remember your hour count after you finished the game?
It took me about a week and a half to finish it, and I usually played about 2 hours per night. So, probably a good 30, 40 hours.
Oh, that actually is pretty short for a Trails game.
Yeah, I will say, though, what it doesn't have in length, it more and makes up for it in storytelling. It really sort of goes into depth of like all the issues that Crossbell is dealing with, specifically the corruption from, you know, their diet and also the influence of organized crime, stuff that they end up, you know, gratefully expanding on in Trails from Azure. But yeah, compared to some of the other ones, this one is a lot shorter.
Yeah, and then, like, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's been, like, officially a thing, but I think Nisa said that they're trying to get Azure out before April.
Yeah.
So that means that they're just trying to go ahead and trying to, you know, finish this up, because we still have, like, Revenue and the other games to go move forward on.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Unlike the first Trails of the Sky and the first Cold Steel game, this one actually wraps up pretty well. It doesn't end on like an infuriating cliffhanger.
Those games had really infuriating cliffhangers.
Yeah. Obviously some of the, like if you've played the Cold Steel games, you'll find out that, some of these characters you're meeting for the first time here are, that are like, you know, nice and your allies. Yeah. Some of them aren't actually all that nice. You find out, for example, like one of the people that ends up being one of your biggest allies to start off with is the same guy that ends up, you know, declaring Crossbell's independence. One of the people that Elsie is friends with, not Elsie, Ellie, or whatever her name is. Ellie's friend is actually one of the operatives for
the stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've played Trails of Coastal 3 or 4, this was already a spoiler.
Yeah. and you see some of those dolls, too, lying around as well from the doll studio that ends up being where Renee is from. Yeah, she's in this game, too. you see like some of the, you know, some of the giant mecha for the first time, that end up playing more prominent roles in, you know, Cold Steel. Yeah, you see a lot. It actually fleshes out a lot of the stuff. Like if you were like, what is the big deal with all this Crossbell stuff? These games definitely flesh out all of it.
I don't know if you want to answer this or if it qualifies as a spoiler, Brandon, but do you run into Rin in this game?
Rin?
Yeah.
You mean the shit? I'm trying
from,
to
from Cold Steel, the main character.
Oh, no.
Okay. What about no, Yuna?
Yuna? No, I don't think she's here either. I do know, however, that apparently, no, because Yuna was like a kid when this game was being made. So when this game existed.
I do recall seeing some screenshots of the Revolution version putting her in, but I don't know if this
I'm pretty sure she doesn't show. If she does show up, it's not going to be until Trails of Azure and Trails from Azure. And I do know that Gilead Osborne shows up near the end of Trails from Azure. So
yeah, I mean, like he's in Trails in the Sky too, isn't he?
I don't know if he is. I know
a really small role, but I think if you visit one of the embassies, he's in one of them. I'm not completely sure.
I don't know if he is, but I do know like one of the ambassadors is there. But yeah, because the Erebonian stuff really doesn't come into play in Crossbell until the Independence Crisis happens and the big tree shows up and all that stuff. So
yeah, but the last point I wanted to make before we move on is the fact that I have been playing on the Switch and Brandon's been playing on the PS4, so he can go ahead and talk about his differences. The main reason why I took the Switch version, aside from like, you know, being able to play portably, is the fact that I did hear that it's a little better. I've heard that the resolution makes it a little bit better, and it's also related to like somewhat less of a lag time and things like that. But I have also been abusing the heck out of the high speed mode, so I don't know if that's really been a part of it. But given that I actually got my start in the series playing it on Vita, I don't mind it at all. The main thing that does somewhat suck here is that your saves are actually going to go ahead and move forward with Azure and the Reverie and all of the Trails games moving forward. So if you are somebody who plans on, you know, playing it on console and you really do care about all the progress you've made and, you know, getting all that save data, definitely play it on the platform that you definitely see yourself playing the most.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it does not take anything from Cold Steel, right? Since you're playing PS4.
No. No, it does not.
Okay. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. So yeah, let's get to some news here.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's happening for the rest of this month for Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
As they decided not to release this last week when all the other news was going on. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of this stuff that's already out now at this point. Deathloop, as we know, is on PC, Xbox Series X and S, as well as on PlayStation Plus Premium.
Yeah.
For people that have those services.
Yep.
There's Hardspray Shipbreaker, which has been on PC Game Pass for a bit now.
Yep.
But now it's officially out on Xbox Series X and S.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a good thing to check out. I might end up just sticking to the PC version. Especially because I already have all the progress on my Steam version. So I'll just stick to that. I played a little bit with the controller and it seems to work pretty decently.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like on keyboard, just being able to hit like 1, 2, 3 to switch between the different tools easily. Mm-hmm. Versus going through that weapon wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I kind of think they could have just done a, you know, first person shooter thing, hit it, you know, once to swap to the other one. And hold it down for the demolition, the third one. But there you go for that. Let's see. Also available now, console and PC, Spider Heck.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a, they call it a fast-paced couch co-op brawler. Mm-hmm. Where you are basically a bunch of spiders that can jump around and also have like lightsabers, I think, that can fight each other. So there you go for that. There's Beacon Pines that is available now on console and PC.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I believe, an adventure game. But spooky, a little spooky for the Halloween season.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go with that. Slime Rancher 2 is out in early access on PC and Xbox Series X and S.
Mm.
It's a sort of survival building collection thing.
Mm-hmm.
As you go around collecting the slimes, putting them in houses, and feeding them stuff to collect their gem poop that you can mm-hmm. use and spend on stuff. So it seems like it's built with a new world to explore and new slimes and all that. So that'll be fun to check out. For the stuff that isn't here yet, let's see, Moonscar is out September 27th, console and PC. 2D Souls-like platform slasher. So there you go for that, if you want one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Grounded hits its full release on September 27th, console mm-hmm. and PC. So you can check out the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Might be able to actually get out of the yard.
Mm.
At this point, I don't know, but let's see. September 29th, console and PC, there's Let's Build a Zoo. It's sort of a management sim, building a zoo with different sort of animals. While hiring staff, trying to make it a fun park for visitors, all that kind of stuff. They also do DNA splicing, mm-hmm. because why not? Why not make it weird like that?
Yeah.
Let's see, there's Valheim, finally mm-hmm. out on Game Pass for PC on September 29th.
Yep.
No console version until, I think, next year at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check that out. Let's see, Paw Patrol Grand Prix on September 30th, console mm-hmm. PC. That is a kart racer, I believe, with the Paw Patrol characters, so there you go for that. Let's see what else they have on here. Yeah, they updated the Xbox app. So they can have its list data from how long to beat
mm-hmm.
on the game pages,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of annoying for me because it's the very top thing you see.
Mm.
They pushed all the like description information and things about like what features it supports are all the way at the bottom of the page now.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to turn this off because I don't pick the games I'm going to play based on how long they take to beat.
Yeah.
So it's like, this information does nothing for us. It's one more reason to not even really go to those pages. Unless there's just something wrong with the game. I don't want to see if other people are having issues, but let's see mm-hmm. what else is here. Not really anything else. FIFA 23 will be on EA Play for early access until, or as of September 27th, if you have Game Pass Ultimate or EA Play Outright.
Mm-hmm.
You can check that out. I think that's it for the most part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. For the Game Pass stuff. Some neat yeah. stuff there. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the Super Mario Brothers movie that Shigeru Miyamoto kind of briefly mentioned was still being worked on
mm-hmm.
at the Direct last week. And now we know a little bit more, is that it's going to release April 7th, 2023. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a teaser trailer October 6th at New York Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
They say 4 p.m. Eastern Time it'll release, so you can check out the first footage
mm-hmm.
of that movie, and we'll see what the hell that is at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a point of conversation. I mean, obviously, like, we've been expecting a trailer for a while, especially since the movie was actually supposed to come out this winter. And, yeah, I mean, if you're Nintendo or, I don't know, Illumination Studios, like, you got to be at least a little bit worried over the fact that Sonic 2, I mean, in my opinion, ended up being a really good Uncharted was solid. And yeah, like, given the fact that we know who is on this cast and I can't really think of any Nintendo fan who's like super psyched about what's happening. You know, there is a little bit of fear there. Like, we do want it to end up good. Like, it probably will sell, you know, it's Mario, you know, people love Mario. Mario is definitely up there with like Pikachu and Mickey Mouse. But, you know, at the end of the day, the first Mario movie wasn't good. And now that you have Sonic being awesome and you have Uncharted being solid too, and you have, like, you know, the Cyberpunk anime and that League of Legends thing on Netflix, like, a lot of the video game media stuff is good. So you really hope this is good for you. And I hope that whatever they hope to show at the trailer is awesome. And it is pretty cool because New York Comic Con really isn't known for anything. They're definitely the second most popular Comic Con to the one in San Diego, but they haven't really done anything pivotal. And this qualifies, so hopefully it works out.
Yeah, we'll see how that thing looks here in about, it'll be next week. Though not for the show next week, but yeah, that is going to be one of those most curious movies that we're keeping an eye on. Yeah, let's see what's next here. Portal. It has some new DLC coming from NVIDIA that is going to upgrade the game with ray tracing support.
Yep.
This is only for the PC version. As far as I know, they're not doing any sort of console versions of this. But it seems like it will work with any ray tracing compatible GPU. So not just the NVIDIA ones. So that'll be cool. They have a big trailer here that makes it look really starkly different in sort of the visual style. As like you can see the lights from the portals peeking into the wherever you have the portal at. A lot of nice little lighting stuff that's going on here. But they do make some of the areas a little bit darker in some places, but this will be one I'm looking forward to. It's like, here's another reason to jump into Portal again for another playthrough. So, yeah. Free upgrade for anybody that owns it on Steam. So that'll be cool to see. And let's see here. We got another delay game, Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals. That was scheduled for 2022, has been pushed to 2023. Which makes sense because we've seen nothing of this game since it got announced a couple of years ago. So yeah, they say here, we owe it to our amazing community to make Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals the best game it can possibly be. Seeing your fan art, reading your excited comments, and connecting with you fuels our ambition. Make this our best game yet to make Oxenfree 2 truly special in Animar localizations. We're moving our release window to 2023. Thank you for your patience, support, and understanding. Can't wait to share the game with you. Stay tuned. So, yeah. Hopefully they get the time they need to finish that game up in the right way. So there you go. And speaking of other games that don't have release dates, Hollow Knight Silksong has had versions announced for Xbox, Switch, and PC, and now they've announced that they're also going to be releasing PS5 and PS4 versions alongside those, so everybody will have a chance to get the game whenever it launches. It'll also be on Game Pass whenever that launches, but that's about all we know about its launch. It'll happen sometime in the future. And not today, so there you go. We had another Marvel game get announced, this time from EA, and Motive, the makers of some Star Wars games and maybe the new Dead Space, I think, as well. But they announced an Iron Man game is what they are working on, which could be neat to see. That'll be interesting sort of how that game works, because Iron Man, you know, is a character that can fly around a lot. And sort of how do you build an open world? I assume it's going to be an open world built around that kind of mechanic. We'll have to see. Because all we know right now is that they are starting work on that. Yeah, that's a big deal for EA. So, yeah, there you go. Another Marvel game in the works. Coming out in an undetermined amount of time. Maybe a few more years for that one. Let's see. Yeah, new hardware. Microsoft and Logitech announced some new hardware. This is the, what is the title for this thing? G Cloud the new G-Cloud handheld gaming console that is a small Android-powered device built around cloud streaming video games, particularly since it's Microsoft-involved. It'll be built around streaming stuff from Game Pass's library to this device.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is... it's going to be $300. Pretty expensive little device, but it's, yeah, it looks like probably closer to like a Switch Lite mm-hmm. of sorts. Maybe some better sort of handles on it to hold it with.
Mm-hmm.
To that, since the Switch can be a little bit rough to hold. But yeah, it seems to, they're claiming it has an extended battery life since it's not running anything directly on the system. It has a 1080p 7-inch touchscreen, built-in controls, a headphone jack, and a button and stick layout similar to an Xbox controller. It's a bit smaller than the Steam Deck. But yeah, it's $300, which is pretty expensive for this kind of device. It does have support for the Google Play Store, so you may be able to play some smaller mobile games and such. And since it's Android, it'll be moddable. But yeah, but making a system where you have to be around an online connection at all times.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big proposition there.
Yeah.
Especially when like a Switch OLED is $50 more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $50 less than the smallest Steam Deck, mm-hmm. the cheapest Steam Deck at $350. And you can get a Switch for $300 and a Switch Lite for $200, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's gonna be a tough sell as sort of anything that's mainstream, but hey, people wanted a handheld for Xbox Game Pass, and here you go.
Do we know if it's specifically for Xbox Game Pass, or is it Game Pass for PC?
It's the cloud Game Pass, so there'll be...
Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be whatever version is adapted for the cloud version.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be around a Wi-Fi point or some sort of cell connection. I don't know if it has anything like that.
Yeah, it just says works like while it supports Xbox Game Pass for PC. Yeah. Whenever you do that, there's a new firmware that kind of takes it out. Like it's really annoying to just, you know, continue to upload your shit and only to have it not play it. So yeah, I mean, I would love a Game Pass dedicated handheld, but $300, it's a little steep, and that cloud, I don't care. So,
yeah. Yeah, and it seems like this will be out October 17th, so next month, in a few weeks. Yeah, it's built-in Wi-Fi, so you need a Wi-Fi connection versus maybe a cell connection that could give you a little more room to get around, though there are options for that as well, like the MiFi cut and stuff. But, yeah, that is a whole thing there. All right, so yeah, the next story here, a support studio that worked on Hard Space Shipbreaker, Crossfire Legion, and Secret Ponchos has voted to form a union with the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Performers, or stage employees. Yeah, this is sort of one of those studios that just works on tech and content for games to help take the load off of the main studios that are working on it. And yeah, they were founded in Vancouver in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And are now the second Canadian game studio to form a labor union.
Yep.
So that is good news.
And thematically, very thematically correct, too, because, I mean, a big part of Hard Space Shipbreakers is you more or less joining a union, so.
Yeah, trying to form a union amongst a corporation that does not like things like that.
Specifically was involved in... getting rid of them back in the day.
Yeah.
In the game's backstory. So, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, that is good news to see. More studios taking that leap.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, wish them the best of luck.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start getting to the corner of companies that had a bad week. Twitch was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst a bunch of things that were going on this week, the major thing is that they banned a bunch of gambling sites from being streamed on their service.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, like, it's ones that are not licensed in the U.S.
Mm.
or other jurisdictions that provide sufficient consumer protections, which is hilarious. Like, the U.S. provides any protections in that sense.
Yeah.
But this gets rid of companies like Stake.com, Rollbit.com, Dualbits.com, and Rubet.com.
Mm-hmm.
Though Twitch says they may expand those as they keep evaluating the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And especially notable because the number of streamers, big-time streamers, were threatening to leave the platform if they, if Twitch did not take care of this. As there was a whole thing where a streamer had sort of taken on funds from his viewers to fund this, like, skin gambling thing from Counter-Strike Go, and then just kept all the money and refused to give it back. That was a big deal for people to pay attention to that platform. And yeah, there's been other stuff going on for this stuff. But yeah, these changes will start taking place on October 18th. So hopefully that'll clean up some of the worst of the streaming stuff.
Yeah.
They're still allowing sports betting, fantasy sports, and the poker stuff on Twitch. So, so keeping some of that, but it seems to mainly focus on, like, slots, roulette, and dice games. So that kind of thing is going to be gotten rid of.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see what else is in here. Yeah, they do take down some of the biggest websites that have been sponsoring streamers. Essentially ones that have big, younger fan bases. So that is good to see. Though, yeah, there's been other things that have been happening on Twitch. Very bad things. Like, some of these people, where were you at then? Like, when there were the big issue with hate raids on black streamers. I was seeing one that was particularly not happy with these streamers sort of standing up for this, but not them. I mean, like, oh, we have 12 different words banned to keep the N-word out of their chat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to be on alert just in case more show up. That kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, that seems like that's still a big issue. They probably helped to mitigate some of that, but, you know, those people don't stop becoming, don't stop being black. So that's not a permanent solution there for them. But yeah, that's, and like, they capped it off with Matt Gaetz threatening to start streaming on Twitch, which conveniently happened a day after people were talking about how child predators maybe have better access to kids on Twitch now. Seemed like a bit of a coincidence there. But yeah, that's a good change they're making. Maybe they need to keep working on that stuff. So we'll see how that goes in the future. But yeah, there's Twitch having a bad week. The other company that's been having a bad week is Take-Two. That's particularly the lesser of the bad things is that their 2K Games support services were hacked. They explained that its help desk platform had been hacked. An invader made off with a whole bunch of customer emails and said that they became aware that an unauthorized third party illegally accessed the credentials of one of our vendors. That their help desk platform that 2K uses to provide support to their customers. Also saying that the unauthorized party sent a communication to certain players containing a malicious link and saying, you know, do not open emails or click on any links they receive from the 2K game support account at that point. I think they have control of this again. But yeah, that's not great when you get one of these support platforms that, you know, is probably a creation of a third party. And unfortunately, those things are probably easier to get hacked than maybe some of the bigger systems, but nonetheless kind of creates a big hassle when it's, you know, tools that you can't necessarily make in-house.
Mm-hmm.
That you would have full control over for that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, they're recommending people, you know, change passwords if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have multi-factor authentication on. Make sure you have good antivirus programs running. Yeah. The Windows one is a very good one there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make sure you're checking your settings and your accounts to make sure that there have been no changes or anything on that stuff. So, yeah. 2K had a bad time, but Rockstar had the worst time.
Oh, this week. Oh, boy, this one.
As they had a big intrusion from somebody that seems like it was mainly just some sort of like social hacking into their systems and managed to download like 90 videos, something like that, of the game in various states of development. Mm-hmm. You know, not looking anything like a finished game.
In fact, it's been rumored that the sort of build that this guy managed to get to is actually a couple years old, apparently.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of it that is, you know, has checkerboard textures and such around, which is a pretty common thing for devs to do before they figure out sort of how they want the levels and such to be designed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of a big deal there, especially because like the supposed hacker was like trying to blackmail Rockstar.
Yeah.
Which is not a great thing to
really,
do.
It's also a really stupid thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, putting out a statement on their forums saying, like, here are 90 footage/clips from GTA 6. It's possible I could leak more data soon. GTA 5 and 6 source code and assets. GTA 6 testing build. My Telegram is this. You know, and the link to the file sharing site. Then like edit it later, like, okay, so this has gone viral. It woke up to 3,000 Telegram DMs and like, oh, send me a message with this code so they know that you are serious, which is like, this is all public posting, so again, you're not doing anything to help yourself here. But yeah, the weird thing is seeing a lot of sites and people just calling this a leak, which is like, no, this was theft.
Yeah.
The hacker could leak stuff, but that is not really a leak in of itself. It's a big hack. And yeah, they potentially have gotten a hacker, arrested the hacker, a 17-year-old. May have also been behind the Uber hack that was happening just before this Rockstar hack. So that was kind of using the similar means to doing it. But yeah, they've apparently arrested this person in Oxfordshire in the UK. So if you don't know that, the main people working on Rockstar on GTA 6 are in Scotland. So it makes sense that maybe somebody in the UK would be one to do this, but they're still working on their investigation to make sure this is the right person. I still have to see how that goes, but yeah, Rockstar in the middle of this sort of said, yeah, there was an intrusion. Let me see their whole message here. We recently suffered a network intrusion and authorized third party illegally accessed and downloaded confidential information from our systems, including early development footage for the next Grand Theft Auto. Let's see. At this time, we do not anticipate any disruption to our live game services or any long-term effect on the development of our ongoing projects. We are extremely disappointed to have any details of our next game shared with you all in this way. Our work on the next Grand Theft Auto game will continue as planned, and we remain as committed as ever to delivering an experience to you, our players, that truly exceeds your expectations. We'll update everyone again soon, and of course, we'll properly introduce you to this next game when it's ready. We want to thank everyone for their ongoing support through this situation. And yeah, there was a whole big thing going on with the there's somebody that was posting, so people were reacting to like the clips and screenshots and such, mm-hmm. talking about like the quality of the game and all that, and it's like Versus is in development, not even close to being done, so you know, anything here can change at any point. There was someone that posted the brilliant take that, you know, graphics are the first thing that are done in a game, which is like, no, that's not even close to being true. You don't paint your house before it's built.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how that works for most anything mm-hmm. out there, but that led to a bunch of developers on Twitter. You can search the term graphics are the first thing, mm-hmm. and you'll see lots of video and screenshots and such of developers across the industry mm-hmm. sharing like early game footage of their games. That is really cool to see things like, you know, hey, here's Control, where, you know, their main character is just kind of running around and is able to fly a little bit and then shooting at enemies that are barely moving and all this. Mm-hmm. There's Last of Us is in there, Uncharted, a bunch of indies have been responding to that. I think Cult of the Lamb was one of the first big studio to respond to this, showing, you know, various bits of footage from the early parts of that game mm-hmm. In development, where they just had lots of placeholder art before mm-hmm. they landed on the current one at release.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff there. If you want to see a bunch of these games, unfortunately, mm-hmm. kind of that sort of stuff should be shared more often.
Yeah.
Should also be put in the games as far as like bonus materials.
Mm-hmm.
Like show like how this game came to be. Like here's different stages of the developments.
Yeah. Because I think if there was one thing about this whole thing that really drove me crazy is how many, and I'm assuming most of these people were kids. I want to assume that that these people were kids. It's how, like, wow, this looks terrible. This looks nothing like GTA 5. The animations are all, they all look unfinished. And I want to scream this because it is unfinished, you stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, Grand Theft Auto 6, let's just say, I'm not going to pretend I work at Rockstar, but let's just say that went into development as soon as Grand Theft Auto 5 ended.
I actually would not be surprised if they were already starting pre-planning towards the end of GTA 5's development.
Exactly. And my point being, Grand Theft Auto 5 came out in the PS5 or PS4, no, sorry, PS3.
Yeah.
Xbox 360. So if graphics were done first, how can that be the case? I mean, like, they don't even know how powerful the PS4 or PS5 are going to be. Mm-hmm. So you're going to tell graphics were first, like, how, and then at the same time as that, this had legs. People actually believed it. Like, what? It's insane, really. And I feel for all the developers and, you know, anybody on the Rockstar team who had to go through this sort of thing. And, you know, they're definitely one of the most secretive studios in the industry. You don't see them announce anything at E3 or anything of that sort. They just, you know, work and, you know, announce things as they're ready. And unfortunately, you know, the rug got pulled out from under them. But yeah, mm-hmm. of course development continues. Like, this is Rockstar. They're some of the best at what they do. And yeah, we obviously are going to be subject to those leaks and we know what's going on, but that doesn't mm-hmm. really affect the quality of the game. Like, we expect mm-hmm. a good game. And yes, it's really unfortunate, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, I was done.
Yeah, it's like Rockstar is going to do everything in their power to, you know, make this game look as good as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's, you know, plays well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less like what Red Dead Redemption 2 mm-hmm. kind of plays like, where it's a little bit too heavy-handed in the way that that plays. But, you know, Rockstar does what it does. It does it in a vacuum of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they won't be affected too much. They'll just, their marketing people will just be annoyed that, you know, this is the first bit of footage that people get to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people really care once the final thing is out. So yeah, that's kind of the,
like, this is the reason why we have less and less preview coverage. You can, you know, you can go ahead and talk about how useful it is these days, but part of the reason why we don't, like, know as much as we should know is because people keep looking. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why more and more games aren't showing much of anything until, you know, they're a month or two out from launch. And while you're seeing less and less like actual gameplay in early trailers, because people freak out in the dumbest ways possible. You can even go back to like the Kickstarter for the Double Fine Adventure game, where the people that were in that campaign kind of could see how things were going throughout when they announced like, oh, we're going to split this up and get the first part out first. Yeah. And everybody outside was freaking out and all this. And everybody inside like saw everything from that documentary and was like, yeah, this makes sense.
It's also both interesting and funny seeing like what Rockstar is resorting to prosecuting like whoever leaked this stuff. I mean, like, they're doing everything short of killing this guy. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be funny with whoever ends up getting caught here.
Yeah. Yeah, and like trying to blackmail him certainly is not going to help them out in any way.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually a pretty bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're able to keep yourself that in the safe zone. And this guy apparently wasn't if they got caught. If this is actually them. So we'll have to see how this whole story progresses. But yeah, that is the Rockstar's bad week.
Mm-hmm.
But they've made so much money off of GTA 5, they really shouldn't even care about this too much outside of, you know, whatever punishment this person gets. Because they can afford, they're not going to be losing any money off of this. That's not how this works for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That is going to be it for the show this week. Not a ton to talk about this week, but the holiday season is upon us. We'll be back next week as October has started, and we will have to deal with that reckoning. But yeah, we are almost hitting episode 400. I think this episode should be 398. We will be at 399 next week, and 400 should be October the 9th. So we'll have try to have some of the old crew on to see what they've been doing, talk about that stuff, and maybe some other fun stuff. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, thank you to Brandon Danner for joining this week. We'll be back next week with a new slate of news. If you enjoy the show, feel free to let friends and family know that they should check it out, and select strangers that won't hack you and try to blackmail you for the dumb things you have stored in your, I guess, Google or Apple cloud accounts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you all next week. Have a good one.